So let's get right on with it. I want to introduce Steve Johnson, who is our co-chair of Island Power, our nonprofit. He's been a resident for what, 30-some?
30 years, yep.
30 years. His wife Vicki's out in the audience. She helped with Home Rule back in the 25 years ago. And he is a citizen volunteer with our city on the Utility Advisory Committee. For 23 years, he built up his expertise as the executive director of the Washington Public Utility District Association. They know all about public utilities. And he was even a professor at the University of Alaska. So yeah. Share some of that professorial stuff.
Barry.
Okay.
Thanks.
This mic will work for you.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for attending. And I think you'll find this interesting. And a lot has been covered by Barry already. I'm sort of the nuts and bolts guy. And when my assistant gets my PowerPoint up here, I'll begin to dig in some of these issues. I should say one thing about this, the fossil fuel-based national electric utility industry, that about 40% of the greenhouse gases in the United States are produced by electric utilities. If you take transportation sector out, which is about 40%, I don't know if this math is going to work exactly right, then 80%. And you also have this dilemma that Jane Lindley found, who is the founder of this organization, because she was concerned about buying an electric car, then looked and saw that 59% of the electricity that would be fueling her electric car would be carbon-based. So as we make progress in the transportation sector, shifting to electricity, the electric sector needs to be focused on, because to a certain extent, and she did some calculations on that, it's just as bad to drive an electric car as it is to fuel up at the gas pump, maybe. So buying local, what is public power? We'll talk about that. Where will Bainbridge Electric Board get its electricity? What is PSE and who owns it? What are the advantages of public power? And how will the Bainbridge Electric Board, bring public broadband to the island? So there are a lot of public power utilities in the United States. 2,500 or so. There's only 100 investor-owned utilities. They've consolidated over the years. They're bigger. And these are cities, rural electric co-ops, those kinds of organizations that are providing non-profit utility service. And they have an old tradition. Some of them go back more than 100 years. In Washington state, we're one of two majority public power states. And we have 62 different utilities of about four or five different types. We've got an irrigation district that's a distribution electric utility, but co-ops, public utility districts, municipalities, and an irrigation district or so, and three investor-owned utilities. So 55% of Washington customers are served by public power, and there's the map of service areas. What's a little dated about this map here, so as it says, public power tends, because of the cooperatives and the PUDs, to serve more of the rural area. The power companies didn't want to go there, and that's why, or didn't see it in their financial interest to go there. And so particularly in the 1930s, co-ops and PUDs started serving those rural areas. There's Jefferson PUD. Of course, that's in the Olympic National Park, but right here is where most people are. It's about, in terms of customers, about third larger, and that's, you'll hear more about that. But two and a half years ago, they flipped the switch, and they're the newest public power utility in the nation, in Washington state. Next slide, please. So there's another big utility that partners with us. It's a nonprofit public power utility. It's a federal agency, the Bonneville Power Administration, headquartered in Portland. It's an old and famous agency that goes back to the 1930s and the New Deal, Grand Coulee Dam. Federal government faced a lot of issues about how they were going to market power out of Grand Coulee and the other dams, 29 dams, on essentially managing the power resources created by the Columbia River Basin, the Snake River, and where's the Snake River? There. And what's interesting in that map, by the way, is there's three big dams that the Northwesterners paid for up in Canada. The Columbia River runs way up here and back down, so they're a part of that resource, and they're a part of the watershed where there's a lot of snow and stuff that helps make that work. So this agency partners with its nonprofit customers who have a preferential right to its power. Next slide, please. So here's the energy mix for Bonneville. This is the hydro system here. There's 10% nuclear plant. there's some wind, and some of these plants are either are owned by contract, essentially, for Bonneville. And this is a mix of market purchasing stuff, which makes it a little confusing. So even though it's a big agency, mostly with its own resources, it does buy a power from time to time in the market. It is the transmission provider for these states, the major backbone transmission provider. So 70%+ of all the transmission is by Bonneville. And of course, right from the start, that was open access. Anybody could come on fair and reasonable terms, and they'll be making sure we get the transmission to Bainbridge Island to serve us when we get in the electric business. Next slide, please. So here's something that's a bit urgent and a real incentive for us to get going on this. It's so-called Bonneville Tier 1 power. A number of years ago, Bonneville and his customers looked around and said, we're out of the hydro basin power. And what are we going to do? And one answer would just buy more resources and meld them in, or cap that and send a conservation signal that new resources are a lot more expensive. Let's stretch it, use it, utilize it carefully, and so on. In the process, God bless them, they decided we have a mission historically, particularly to help small areas. We're going to set aside 250 megawatts of power for new public agencies. And they're somewhere in the mix, like Jeff Peudy and so on, talking about this. And they'd cap how much each utility would get. So it'll target it on small utilities. And an important thing is they didn't leave that power in the cupboard. They allocated all the power. So if you hear, and you will hear, this isn't going to make any difference. It's not true in terms of the environment. Bonneville will have to acquire clean resources. They only acquire non-carbon emitting resources in order to meet our load. Now, if we're that much, they may be able to squeeze us in. But if there's three communities in Oregon looking at this, so this power is likely to get taken up in the next few years. And there's a October 2020 deadline for applications for the Tier 1 power. I'm not sure what they'll do if it's not fully allocated by then, but that's not so far away. So BPA transmits power to Bainbridge Island. That is not a problem, although PSE is in some forms saying it's a big problem that they won't help and all of that. But they're going to be cooperative because by law and contract terms, and their power, for instance, from Colstrip, Montana, 500 miles away, comes over Bonneville transmission lines to get here. Next slide. So who is Puget Sound?
Can you use this mic? You know, we're doing a recording today just so that people who couldn't be here can hear us later.
Okay.
So thank you.
How's that? Is that just there?
Really strong. I may have done you a disservice here.
Yeah, how about there?
Okay,
how about there? Okay, I'll do my best here. Puget Sound Energy was sold out in 2008 to Macquarie Capital of Sydney, Australia. Now, Macquarie Capital is like Bain Capital and those other structures. You may have remembered the public became more knowledgeable about Bain during Mitt Romney's campaign because he had been the CEO of that entity. But they essentially invest and find other investors like pension funds in Canada and so on, assemble them, purchase, and in this case purchased Puget Sound Energy in 2009 for $7.4 billion. So they bought it out. Jeff Peudy, which you'll hear a little bit more in a minute, one of the things that happened up there really triggered their effort to purchase the system was they went to Puget Sound Energy and said, can our community buy? We'd like to buy this system, not have a foreign owner of it and have our own destiny. But PSE did not agree, and they had to go through a political process to get it. Most PSE line crews were outsourced in 2000, so we have no line crews, PSE line crews based on the island, and we have one PSE employee, and the line crews are contracted with a company called Patelco, so the link there has been broken. So here's the CEO of Macquarie Capital in Sydney, Australia. I saw this quote when I just Googled his name. In an article in the Sydney Morning Herald 2012 about Macquarie Capital, it said, the company's high margins, profits, and the lucrative rewards of it for its executives and shareholders saw the Australian media label the bank the millionaire factory. Sydney Morning News. Next slide, please.
His credit rating is lower than the city's.
Yeah, their Macquarie Bank is Moody's Baa3, which is quite low, quite low. So essentially the cost of money, and the city, like many other cities, has a in the A range high credit rating. And you've heard about this rate increase. Next slide, please. So Bainbridge Island's power bill, I'll move on. You heard about that from Barry, but we guess about 25 employees for the island buying local, great members of the community, you know, middle, nice family wage jobs and so on. So here's a table that has some information. Here's power rates for neighboring comparable utilities. This is, by the way, power bill. PSE says that we only talk about rates because publics have really low rates, but they have some connection charges or base rate charges. And in some places where they have a lot of cabins and stuff, they have a fairly high base rate, some of the publics, because nobody's in the cabins in the winter and they want to make them pay to be connected. But a Jeff PUD here is less now than a PSE, and their connection charge is less than PSE by a few cents. So, and then here, Pacific PUD down, Raymond, relatively low rates. I want to call your attention to, here's the numbers of employees. Broadband, we'll get into this, but these are the publics that provide broadband of this list. And finally, here's the undergrounding. You'll see a chart on reliability in a minute, and this is one of the reasons. Heavily undergrounded and a commitment. Some of these utilities are committed to completely undergrounding, but it's going to take years. And of course, Bainbridge Electric Board wouldn't do this on day one. It'd be a 20-year program if we did that and if we went forward. So next slide, please. So Jeff PUD that we've talked about, it was established in 2013. Its bills are 5% less than PSE now. Go on their website. There's a lot of information there. But they're owners, not renters. So when PSE refers to the tens of millions of dollars it's going to cost to buy this system, by the way, that's not a taxpayer obligation. You'll just be paying that through the rates. It's like a mortgage. And for Jeff PUD, the cost of their mortgage is now than the 7 or 8 years of rent that they paid to PSE. Climate change. This is one of the biggest issues for me, and that was for Jane when we got together and got going on this. Concern with grandchildren and so on. Barry's told you a lot about that. There's pending, you've seen a little action in the legislature. Governor signed this authorization for PSE to collect money, but no mandate on shutdown. No word about, nor a mandate that they don't shut down and go to natural gas, because natural gas is a somewhat cleaner and least expensive alternative right now. So those two mandates are not there, but this is the cleanup cost is forecast, and that'll come back to who? Somebody. Here's a letter to Olympian that I thought was really good that was in a couple days ago. PSE has resisted the inevitable for years, determined to keep polluting air, water, and soil and contributing vast amounts of carbon to our shared atmosphere. They aren't stepping gingerly. They have been pushed, pulled, and dragged into making these long overdue changes, referring to the legislation. So power outage, big concern on the island. We have come among the highest outages of anywhere. We're heavily wooded, all of those kind of things. Next slide, please. So we've done some work on comparative information about this is the minutes of outage per year. It's so-called SAIDI numbers, System Average Interruption Duration Index. It's an industry standard. And we had to do a public records request to the WUTC to get the numbers for PSE. They're not just automatically made available, even though the WUTC is a public agency. So here's Kitsap County. 5-year average, as reported by PSE. And here is an interesting number that they like to report. It's PSE Kitsap 5-year average. SAIDI IEEE, big important engineering organization, and that allows for an exclusion of major storms. So this is not a very useful number. This is a citizen on the island. This is 24 hours of outage. In 2015, I don't know, think about it, your own experience on the island. what's 24 hours a year in outage. I think that's conservative. So these, then we picked neighboring and comparable wooded utilities to try and get. So Orcas Power, San Juan Island, surfs you out to San Juan Islands, they made a commitment to 100% undergrounding. It's stormy in the winter out there, and it's hard to get between the islands, and they've got these underwater cables that are difficult to deal with. Nonetheless, they're, I guess, the poorest performing of the comparable publics, and PSE's self-reported numbers are three times the outage. Clallam PUD, that's Squim out to Forks, there's their numbers. Penn Light, that's Gig Harbor. They're the one you saw, they're 72% undergrounded. They serve Fox Island and so on. Terrific record. Talk to those people. This is Seattle City Light. This is the city of Port Angeles. Of course, cities have a little different issue. Their outages tend to be lower because they don't have the trees. Next slide, please. Okay. So with the Bainbridge Electric Board, we'd get increased liability and local jobs. Orcas, you know, some great folks there. And quite a few years ago, they made a commitment that they not just only were going to have apprentice programs, but they were going to hire their own kids. So right early on, they go to the high school and so on, and they recruit and try and, as a policy, recruit people from the island, because relocating there, different issues, housing's expensive and so on. So it's a wonderful program, and they say it really leads to dedicated employees who don't job shift and stuff. By the way, linemen are a scarce commodity now, and they earn good salaries. It's a competitive market to get them. Back to that other one for just a second. Stormproofing, this undergrounding, this is restoring more quickly. Your neighbors and island-based people will do a lot better job, but undergrounding and other stormproofing measures, but mainly this one, which PSE doesn't do much of, is the way not to have an outage. Tree wire. Tree wire is there's a lot of things you can do out in the system with still using above ground, and so tree wire is stronger wire, less likely to come down. There's tree trimming, you know, your neighbors and stuff. When we have our own utility, I'm sure they'll be in at the weekly board meeting talking to us about trimming their trees and that kind of thing. But anyway, this is their approach to work, and it's eminently doable. PSE claims that they're 55% undergrounded on Bainbridge. We've written to them and said, please send us the maps, show us exactly how you get that number. We think they're counting from the distribution system to the house, and that the real number is 5 to 8%. But we'll see. We've asked them for those numbers. I hope they provide them. Next slide. So this is the broadband side of this. You're going to hear more from others. But I used to work for the PUDs, and Grant PUD, right from the start, when we got the law to allow this, big fight with Comcast and the other companies in 2000 in the legislature, all the PUDs banded together in their communities. Grant moved right out on this, and today has the fastest single broadband location in the U.S., with average download speed of 85 point, and so on, being moved along here. And so Barack Obama went and visited Cedar Falls, Iowa, and said, you know, public power utility, talked about that. And because of their public power utility, in my view, some small communities have done a terrific job on internet. So you got here Seoul, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Paris. Unfortunately, you got Los Angeles, New York, Washington, and San Francisco at half the speeds these foreign cities have, but not Cedar Falls, Iowa. They're really proud of it. The president went there and gave them an award and stuff. Chattanooga, Tennessee, famous public power system, who has put in, you know, and they're real proud of it, a broadband system. So that's the route we're talking about here. Next slide, please. Just a word about this Bainbridge Electric Board. Not every utility has an electric board, but about 60% of the public power utilities nationally our side have a board or commissioners, that kind of thing. And it's a good idea because these issues are complex, don't take up the time of the city council, and have experts. So we point people, when Doug Schultz commissioned a task force on municipalization, we were surprised, I guess he was surprised, at the quality of the people who applied. It was a great team, they did a great job, and they had utility and other financial background and stuff. These are the kind of people we'd probably be talking about. Tacoma and Eugene are examples of somewhat larger utilities that use this board model. Get it away from the city council. Have people who have the time and expertise to manage the utility. So the case for public power, the economics case is, I think, very solid. The climate case, you've heard about that. Local control, haven't talked too much about that. But when something's wrong in our community, or the rates are going to be raised, there'll be rate hearings. And if you want the information about undergrounding or outage rates, you're going to get it. You're going to go call up Doug Schultz or send him an email, and you'll get that information. And we've got this potential you're going to hear more about right now of island-wide nonprofit broadband that can start right at the start in a number of ways, particularly this pole attachment thing. Day one, we're going to be partnering with KPUD to get this fiber on the poles. So thanks a lot. Sorry I went over a little.